The thing about doing homily series is that the readings don't always match up with what's actually being discussed. Today we don't have that problem. The natural segue, Ten Commandments, right on into what we've been talking about, what we've been preaching about. Right, and so what's the ground we've covered the past couple weeks? We've talked about the first and the second commandments, right? You shall have no gods before me, not use the name of the Lord your God in vain. Right, the main points there being God comes first, difficult as that might be, and we want to seek to reverence God in what we say with our speech. And last week, speaking about keeping holy the Sabbath, honoring your father and mother. Keeping holy the Sabbath is really kind of the practical way we live out that first commandment of we put God first by coming to worship him precisely because he's asked us to do it. That's the way he's asked us to be in relationship with him, but also to set aside that day for rest, for leisure, for family as well. And then honoring our father and mother, they who give us life, just as the Lord himself does, and so seeking to show them due reverence, love, and respect. Today, as we continue to progress through then, we'll be looking at the fifth commandment and then jumping ahead to the eighth. So the fifth commandment being, thou shalt not kill, or thou shalt not murder, probably being more accurate, right? The church gives instances where there might be just occasion to take life, just war, self-defense, and the like. So we have, thou shalt not murder, and then thou shalt not bear false witness against one's neighbor. And so, again, as we've been going through this, we've got our examination of conscience, looking at the ways in which we might need to ask the Lord for grace, might need to repent and say, all right, with respect to this particular commandment, where do I need to turn back to the Lord? Where do I need to seek his favor and his love and his mercy? And so regarding the fifth commandment then, just going through the examination, have I at any point taken the life of an innocent person or assisted with or paid for such a thing? Have I nurtured hatred or a desire for revenge toward anyone, lost my temper? Right, we hear in the Our Father, forgive us as we forgive those who trespassed against us. And to the extent that we're able to do that, right, we can receive the Lord's favor and graces in return. But to the extent that hatred and anger remains rooted in our hearts, and we don't seek to uproot it, give it over to God, it's to that extent that the devil, rather than God, is able to reign in our hearts and in that place there. Have I ever been impatient with someone? If you are ever struggling to figure out a sin in confession, this is always a great place to start. Have I been impatient at any point whatsoever? If nothing else, we could probably say that for most people most of the time. Have I refused to forgive others, holding on to resentment or anger? Have I been too harsh at points in the discipline of my children or anyone else under my authority? Have I had an abortion or advocated it, either in words, actions, voting, like seeking to preserve human life precisely because it's made in the Lord's image and precisely because it's given to us as a gift and as a grace? Have I promoted or been involved in euthanasia at the end of life? Have I failed to bury the dead? Burying the dead is one of the corporal works of mercy that the church recognizes. And because we await the resurrection, not just of our souls, but of our bodies as well, that's why we say, yes, we bury the dead in preparation for the resurrection. And that doesn't always take place, right? Sometimes there might be like scattering or holding on to remains, but really emphasizing, no, we want to bury the dead so that way they can prepare for the Lord to raise them again. Have I deliberately harmed anyone in action or speech in any broad way? Have I deliberately wished death upon another, desired hell for them, wished any other kind of evil? Right? It's from the desires of our hearts that we act and we live. And while there's a certain extent that desires kind of happen to us, they can also take root in such a way that they become something more. Are we able to make those desires good and holy and pure with respect to the goods of other individuals? Have I ever sought out IVF, which normally entails the discarding of human embryos? Have I ever at times been racist or prejudiced in thoughts, words, or actions? Have I recklessly endangered my own life or the lives of others? Right? There's mundane examples, right? Driving in the car, maybe getting distracted, texting, doing something like that. But there are ways in which we can recklessly endanger our own lives. I know there are, you know, often extreme thrill-seeking, right? There are ways it can go a little bit far, and we can become negligent toward the gift of life that we've been given. Have I, at various points, gotten drunk or used illicit drugs, enabling another's addiction as well, right? Because it's not just about how we treat others, but are we seeking to treat the temple of our own body with respect as well, seeing it as a gift from God? Have I mistreated my body or health through gluttony or excessive tobacco use? Have I at any point attempted suicide or seriously entertained thoughts of it, engaged in self-harm? Right, in the church, recognizing that those who are in that position don't want to be there. It's a very painful and difficult place to be. But also just seeking to be like, all right, even in spite of this difficulty, can we seek to find that value in our own lives? Where it might not always be apparent to us, but at least see it as the Lord sees it and the value and love he has for it there. So much for the fifth commandment, right? It encapsulates a lot. But the main point being, can we care for the bodily good of our life, the lives of those around us, and seek to build them up in a way that, you know, brings about life, health, joy, all of these things? With the eighth commandment then, you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. Have I at point told a lie or lies? Right? Jesus says, I am the way and the truth and the life. He identifies himself with the truth. Right? And so anytime we deliberately go against that, seeking to deceive, there's a way in which it's also cutting against Christ himself, because he not only lived in the truth, he identifies himself with it. Have I committed perjury? Right? Have I lied under oath? Obviously, this takes place most obviously in context of court, stuff like that, but have I made a promise or sworn to tell the truth and in some way failed to do that? So not merely lying, but really failing to keep my word and staking what I say. Have I judged others rashly, right? Listening to baseless accusations or thinking something that might not be entirely fair without having the whole story, not getting both sides of what's going on. Have I just kind of instinctively pushed someone away based on hearsay or other things like that? Have I gossiped or unnecessarily shared the faults of others, thereby damaging their reputation? Right? A good reputation is something we have a right to, right? At least to the extent that we have done well, our reputation is a part of us, and it shouldn't be tarnished unnecessarily. So seeking to uphold the good reputation of others as well. Have I revealed information that should be kept confidential? Have I cheated in school? Have I insulted another, engaged in gossip? Have I cooperated in another's sin through cover-up, flattery, or silence? Often enough, it's not merely sufficient to not lie, as good as that is, right? But there might be occasions where we're called to speak or proclaim the truth, and we let the occasion kind of pass us by, for whatever reason. But we don't live in that place of seeking to, right, hold what is true and encourage others in it. And this needs to be done with discretion, right? If you merely say every true thing that comes to your mind, you're probably going to needlessly insult people. So there's good judgment that needs to take place. But are we seeking to uphold and support the truth, not merely not by lying, but actually advocating for it when it is called forth from us? Thou shalt not murder, thou shalt not bear false witness against your neighbor. If the Lord is the Lord of life and the Lord of truth, then there's a necessity in seeking to uphold these commandments in all we do, all we say. Can we glorify God by our actions? Can we glorify God by our speech? And in doing so, seek to live in the life that he tries to give us. As with previous weeks, then, we'll conclude by saying an act of contrition together. We'll be on page 1049 in your green hymnals. Right near the back of the book. So in reparation for any sins against the Ten Commandments, especially the fifth and the eighth commandments. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. O my God, I am heartily sorry for having offended you. I detest all my sins because of your just punishments, but most of all because they offend you, my God, who are all good and deserving of all my love. I firmly resolve, with the help of your grace, to sin no more and to avoid the near occasion of sin. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.